O Lord, we pray, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds and in the longing of our hearts. By the words of my lips and the thoughts we form, speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Many times, Palm Sunday is something I tend to struggle with. We begin the service by celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, being cheered, palm leaves, even palm hands here, and blankets being laid down in front of him. And then later in the service, as we've just heard, we have the reading of the Passion story, which tells of Jesus' final hours. Talk about a contrast of emotions in one service. But today, let's focus on some of the elements of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. When we think of crowds, what sort of feelings come into our minds? Crowds sometimes can be quite scary, and yet sometimes they can be supportive. Think about cheering crowds when your favourite sports team scores a point, a try, a penalty, or a goal. But in contrast, they can be jeering crowds and a sense of crowd mentality. You've probably no doubt heard of the term mob rule, that being the mentality of a crowd with no space for individual thoughtfulness, no time for reflection, just an immediate and mass response. Think of the storming of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. by supporters of Donald Trump, a huge mob mentality moving forward to one place. Wherever he went, Jesus attracted the crowds. He was quite a charismatic person, the person who called himself the Son of Man. And so people came from far and wide to hear him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to witness the amazing things that this man was doing. And the great and loving talks that he gave, and not forgetting the miracles that he was known to perform, just spurred people more and more to go and see exactly who this man was. But in any crowd, then and now, there are different kinds of people. There'd be the believers, the cheerers, but there'd also be the doubters who could do nothing but stand there and jeer. Quite often in the Bible, we're told about the reaction of the different crowds. We see the behavior of the onlookers. Perhaps if we go deeper into the story, we might look into their eyes and just try and guess what it is that they're thinking. When Jesus healed the man born blind, he made mud with dirt and spit and then went and anointed the eyes of that man. Some of the Pharisees believed it as a miracle and believed that indeed Jesus was the Messiah. But so many more didn't believe. They questioned Jesus. They doubted the man he'd healed. They accused Jesus of not being who he was. So we've got some for the cheerers, and we've got some who are against the jeerers. And if you look past Good Friday and past Easter to the events of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, to the time when the Spirit of God descended on the disciples like tongues of fire, they began to speak and praise God in so many different languages. And some of the onlookers see it as a miraculous event, and others think these people are drunk. They are filled with new wine, they said. On that day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, there would have been a massive crowd. Lots of people who probably didn't even know who he was, even though he'd been the talk of the city over recent weeks. It was a Jewish festival. It was Passover time. So many people from around the countryside would have been there in the temple celebrating this special feast. And perhaps there would have been people from far away places as well, honouring their religious beliefs by travelling the great distance to Jerusalem, going to the holy city for the most holy of feasts. And so the crowd celebrating the festival today would have been in a really happy mood. They were ready for a parade. They were ready to celebrate. And Jesus, knowing the mood of the city just before Passover, knowing that the prophecies concerning how the Messiah would enter Jerusalem, and knowing what would come later, rides into the city on a donkey with his disciples beside him. And for those who have eyes to see, it's his choice of animal that is significant. Conquering heroes like generals, great military figures, tend to ride into parades or towns on horses. And the Messiah comes in a much more humble fashion, sitting on the back of a donkey, just as it was predicted by the prophets. And the festal mood continues. The Spirit of God perhaps has descended. Hosanna, people are shouting. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And the disciples must have thought they'd succeeded at last. Where are those arrogant Pharisees now, they're thinking. We've got it with Jesus. The people are all for him. They're all behind him. They recognize at last that he's the promised one. He's the son of David. And from now on, everything is going to go our way. But of course, Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knew that even as the people shouted on Palm Sunday, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David, just a short time later, they're going to be shouting something completely different. Crucify him, are the words that come out of their mouths. Jesus knew that the jeering crowd would call later for him to be crucified. And when Pilate asks why, what evil has he done, the crowd shouts even louder. And so Pilate releases Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, hands him over to be crucified. It just shows how quickly things can change. One week you're a hero, the next you're just another victim, a person, an object to be spat on and scorned, beaten and killed. And yet here we are today, the Sunday before that Friday, with our palm leaves and our branches, we're here singing praises to Jesus. We also can cheer with the crowd that cheered for Jesus, and rightly so, because Jesus deserves all our cheers. But we've also cheered with hearts heavy with the knowledge of what's going to happen. And in that, we're closer to Christ and his knowledge of the real situation than his disciples would have been. Jesus knew what he was dying for. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. Jesus knew that his disciples were going to abandon him. And Jesus knew that the crowds were going to call for his death. He knew what was going to happen, yet he ate, drank, and washed the feet of Judas. He knew, and yet he prayed with Peter, who would deny him. He called all the disciples his friends. He knew them. He taught in the marketplace. He healed those who came to him. So Jesus knew, and we know. We know his part, and we know our part in that knowing. We've celebrated. We must celebrate. We must cheer and praise Jesus and call him Lord, even knowing that we, like all the others, have at times failed him and may yet still fail him. We have to cheer. We have to remember that Jesus knows who we are, what we've done and what we will do. And yet he still lays down his life for each one of us. Today we've received palm crosses. If you've got a palm to hand, just hold it. If you haven't, just picture a palm in your mind. Look at what you hold in your mind or in your hand. The palm cross of Hosanna. The palm cross of this day of acceptance of our Lord. But yet the cross is still an empty cross. That cross signifies resurrection. That cross indicates forgiveness. It's a really holy mystery, this cross upon which Jesus died. It's a mystery which the crowd can never quite accept. It's a mystery that you and I can't completely understand, but which, when we accept it in faith, in our hearts, turns our earthly despair into a heavenly triumph. That cross on which Jesus died is our cross, It's a very special place to be. So Hosanna, Jesus. Hosanna in the brief moment of earthly acclaim. Hosanna, and may God your Father give you strength for what is to come. Blessed are you who have come in the name of the Lord to save and deliver your people. Blessed be your name now and forevermore. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.